This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Welcome back to the show. We are in the second hour of the Power Zone right here on Power 98.7. And I told you guys that I will be going into a conversation in the second hour with the founder of the SOPHA and the Genie Coach podcast. This being Neo Nari, just coming through to just speak to us about gentle parenting. So we're hearing that they are genie souls, and those genie souls need to be handled with care. So you at home, you're welcome to just form part of the discussion this morning on 0861-987-000. Neo, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Katlego. Thank you for having me.
I know it's lovely to have you on. Gentle or genie souls. You know, I never knew that there was a term called genie souls, but this morning we're going to learn. And before we even go into our genie souls, I want you to tell me about your platform. Am I right when I say it's SOPHA or it's S-O-P-H-A?
It is SOPHA.
It's not far off the mark. Tell us about SOPHA before we get into this parenting space and the likes.
Okay, thank you. So SOPHA, it's a coaching business. Mm. So we target genies, which is our kids between 4 years and 10 years. Mm. And we use play therapy as a modality to just, you know, handle them with care. And I always say nurture and preserve their innocence, because at that stage, that's where they're most innocent. They still believe in magic. And without us being aware, we tend to actually dim their light and their magic by what we do unintentionally. You know, so this is more of consciously saying to parents, hey, there's another way, a gentler way of actually doing it. And with the vision of having a better future, you know, the one that is more love-based than fear-based.
I see. You're a mental health practitioner. SOPHA, is it emanating from there, from that space, to say that this is where then you saw a gap and you're like, listen, we're going to go into this Genie Coach podcast. We're going to be looking at the parenting space to ensure that at least we coach as much as we can, looking out for these genies, because really when you look at it, there's a lot of riding during that period for a young one at the age 4 to 10 years, that if we're not tapped or we're not careful of how we really navigate this space for the young one, this might be a recipe for disaster. Is it informed from that space, that really your background in mental health, that feeds into what you're doing right now?
It is, actually. So I worked with children in the mental health institution while I'm actually retired now at the age of 34. Yeah. But that's where the love and the consent started. Mm. But I think the dream and the vision was sparked when I became a mom myself, because I'm a mother to two beautiful genies, 3 years and 7 years, you know. So I noticed, especially with my first one, Oreo, that when she was between 0 and 3, she was the apple of our eyes in the household, you know. But the minute she passed the age of 3 years, now we expected her to start behaving like an adult. And I saw that, you know, from teenage, they start acting out. So we have no choice but to notice them. And then when they are young, like 3 years and less, we feel like they are hopeless. You know, they are helpless. So we tend to give them more attention. But this is the gap that we miss, only because they are also busy. They are going to school. They have friends. So it's very easy to miss their symptoms, you know, and we only realize when it's later on and they're antisocial or they are having suicide ideation. And it becomes even difficult to deal with it in teenagehood, because now we have to now start building trust from a very scratch. And we've actually made so much damage unaware, you know.
Yeah.
But in the States, they're still willing to talk to us, they still see us as this magician, you know. So even if we keep on making mistakes, it's easier to go back and say, I'm sorry, and they believe us and they move on. But when you have to apologize to a teenager, you need to prove it with action as well.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a controlled environment then for parents, and you need to then be intentional, I guess, and observant of your child in terms of what their needs are, and not really leave it to them to figure it out. Will we see you as a parent then coaching this young one to and curating their paths, or you leave it to them to just basically school me in terms of what their likes are, what their interests are, but you know what they warm up to, what makes their face to bright up, you know, when I present this thing in their face, that moment of you being observant as a parent, so you're able to intervene and get the best out of this genie?
Yes. So I'm of the school of thought that we all come with everything that we need, you know, in terms of magic, in terms of career path, we know what we want to be or what we should be. I mean, even our names, most of us, if like there's a part in the podcast, an episode in the podcast where we talk about Liina Libeki Seromo, but then we took out the Libi out of it, you know, because we don't want to always be leaning into the negative, to say your name it's like a calling or your purpose driven, you know. So from the moment you are pregnant, or we are pregnant as a mom and a dad, the child is able to communicate with us and give us his or her name. But most of us are in this automation. We don't get to tune in. We don't get to ask the relevant questions. And that's why we even think that at 2 years, we need to always be telling the genies what to do. But it's always important to ask them. I mean, I always tell the parents, the simple thing of tomorrow or today, taking two outfits and asking her to choose between the two. You know, obviously you're not going to say, go into the wardrobe and take out clothes, because they're going to come out with your plebs and your stomach out and very cold, you know. So you limit their choices, but you still give them a choice anyway. And that's where we end up stuck with 40-year-olds who don't want to leave your house, because you never gave them the confidence to make a choice. And it starts there. I mean, I always tell them, like a muscle, you need to exercise trust. You can't expect that all this time you'll be making choices for me, and suddenly when I turn 31, I now suddenly know how to make choices. Simple thing. I have this ritual where I go to Pick and Pay with my daughters, and luckily they've had this nice trolleys for genies, you know, and I give them tasks to say, you are responsible for cheese and peanut butter, and you are responsible for this and that. And I even give them the money to pay for it. You know, we simulate them so that they also get to see that they can be responsible.
So it's being intentional. It's so cute. It's extremely cute. So I wanted to also then understand now, does it matter if this is a planned for a child, or this is a child that just happened? Does it matter if this is a single parent doing it? If maybe we are both just tech teaming and helping each other, we are married and united as parents and present, you know, more or less in the child's life, you know, those dynamics, is it something that you then pick up from the parents as you tend to go into this space?
I don't think it matters. However, it makes the journey much easier when you have support. You know, my master's study was on Indigenous knowledge systems, and we had to tap into the wisdom that our forefathers had. And one of it was communalism, you know. The reason why we had so much going on and could achieve so much was that Neo could not be five things at the same time. And the power of focus, you know, I knew that I was going to focus on just cooking for the day. And obviously I'm going to do it very well if I know that that is the only task I'm being trusted with for the day. But now, unfortunately, we have to be the cook, the nurse, you know, so it becomes much easier when we when you are having support systems, you know, in place. Yes. But it doesn't really matter because I've worked with single parents mostly, and actually they are doing quite amazing, and their journeys are these amazing souls that would actually willingly help a stranger because they know how it made them feel when they were seen and being helped by others. Because this is more like a paying it forward. You know, if you know how it made you feel, you are more likely to replicate the feeling to the next person.
I'm also wanting to, I'm just curious around then, but you, if you are not that person that is gentle and intentional as a parent around how you treat the little genie, the young one in this regard, could it lead to you not maybe being able to pick up if your little one has special needs, if you need to pay more attention to this, if they're maybe the developmental process is just taking quite some time, and also you not being gentle in that regard, could it also spark and push the little one to have traumas and those issues that will start small, but then they tend to become and develop into bigger issues because the parent was just not there, was not observant, and was not in any way training this young one to get away from some of these issues and to be independent and to navigate and be able to handle some of these pressures as a young one. Could us not being that gentle and us not following this kind of parenting lead to us not even realizing that we have kids here that have special needs?
Definitely. And one of the researchers that are now prominent around trauma, it's around absent parents, and absent not in terms of physical, but they are there, but because they are overwhelmed from work, they are having financial stresses, they tend to actually not see you. And one of the wounds that I work with in therapy, it's that wound of not good enough. I mean, we need our parents to tell us that we are amazing, we are magical, but most of them, unfortunately, because they're irritated, they'll always tell us how ungrateful we are because they bought us an iPhone and we wanted their attention, and now they feel like, I spent all this money on you and you're still not happy. What's wrong with you? And unfortunately, genies have magical thinking. So they think everything revolves around them and everything is their fault. So when things go great, they think it's them. And when things go very bad, they also think it's them. That's why it's also very important to involve them even when the parents are going through separation or divorce, because they would notice it, and then they would always think they are the ones who are causing their parents to be sad, to be mad, so everything revolves around them. And if we are not gentle and observant enough towards them, that's where now they end up having really serious issues around isolation. And there's also this myth that we glorify kids who are quiet. And I always say those are the ones we need to actually pay more attention to, because they have stopped believing in themselves and in us. And by isolating themselves, there are souls roaming around as well. So they're going to find friends and they're going to be leading them to doing things, and kids are trusting, they're going to trust anyone because they just want to feel connected. For them, it's more connection than anything else. So we also need to be very conscious of who do we leave their precious and gentle soul onto. If you're not actively taking them, somebody else is going to take the role. And it might be somebody that it's not for them and their well-being.
No, you just sparked something now, because we often think that when they are quiet and not problematic, and then they are good kids and we want
good
that
girls,
and that is, we feel like that's a blessing and a half, but that is a little bit of a challenge. What do I do when this young one is not as active as their brother or their sister? They have their own way. Do I need to school them, train them, spark something in them maybe just spark those that excitement and find out, you know, as I go along with this parenting, what makes them tick, and then maybe always tap into that so that their energy is there where the other brothers and sisters is at.
And it's not about the physical activeness. Remember, we have two energies. We have the masculine, which is more go, and we have the feminine, which is more resting and just magnetizing and letting things come to them. So it's you really finding out whether their quietness is because they are magnetic or is it because they're isolated. You know, so we're not advocating for sameness here. We still, you know, Rainbow Nation all the way. But at least be rest assured and have the knowledge that, no, Mel is quiet because now she's on to her, you know, her zone. She's tuned in. And being not active doesn't mean they won't engage, but they'll have a different way of engaging. So those would be maybe kids who enjoy puzzles or playing with dolls. They're still active, but they're not, you know, they're still engaged, but they're not all over. They're not climbing trees. They're not. So it's just you knowing your genie so well that you know that these are her gifts. And most of the time, if we are conscious enough, you'd know from as early as 3 years what your genie's gifts are. And then you won't be surprised when they're in matric and they tell you they want to go into the arts. Because I had a friend who ended up committing suicide. Her name was Neo. May her soul rest in peace. When her mom forced her to actually become a nurse because no child of hers would go into the arts and go to college, you know. And I feel like it's because the mom was not connected. She didn't know who Neo was. Yeah. But us around her and knowing how artsy she was, we appreciated her dream of her wanting to be into the arts. So we end up actually causing more damage as parents, you know, without knowing. But if we start knowing from an early age, but no, she's always been the performer, this one. Whenever they're, you know, there's a mugeti at home, she'd always be the one who wants all the attention. So it makes sense that she would want to get into a creative arts and all that, you know. So it makes the journey much easier and less, I don't know. I'm for ease. I love ease.
The gentleness.
I believe in that thing of go where the flow is going and then you don't need to pedal too hard, you know.
I wanted to just check in then with you now, because you're a parent to two genies. But is it complicated when you have the responsibility of the pair? Because often then when you hear parents saying that it will be ideal for you to have a little bit of a gap in between the first and the second child, so that we don't see them competing for attention from the parent. Others saying that, no, it will be ideal for you to have them back to back, so that they school each other, they grow together, they hold each other's hands, their brother and the sister's keeper. But you as a parent here, then it means that they're both competing for your attention if they're both genies. Is it something that you find yourself in, and is it a tricky one for one to navigate, where you'll now have to, your focus has to be dual in terms of ensuring that both of these genies get the best of your parenting?
So I was also sold into the gap myth. So I thought, because they would say, no, anything from 3 years, the gap is amazing, but don't take it to 10 years. So I, like, we spaced it for 4 years, and sibling rivalry is a thing, you know, it exists. And I also have mothers whom I coach, their genies, and there's a 10 year, 13 year space. But they still fight like my mind with 4 year gap. And I also have ones who are like 9 months apart. And the dynamics are always the same. What I notice is they don't always fight and they're not always friendly. So you just have to navigate it and be very wary of not taking sides, because that's the one decider that would actually make the one to feel like, oh, so I'm not being seen. So how I navigate it for me is I become curious for them as individuals. You know, I don't compare them at all. I from the onset, I know that they, because luckily I was doing the inner work while I was still pregnant, so I was able to get into a meditation and meet them while they were still souls unborn, you know, and ask them, what are your dreams? Why are you coming into this earth? Why me? Which character in me do you think would help you? Because obviously they chose me to be their vessel into this earth plane, because they, I possess some of the traits that they needed, you know, so I had to tap into that. And one of the things that I know works for me is creating individual times with them. Mm. So how I do it is sometimes I wake night duty. So in the morning when I come, the three-year-old just woke up. We take a bath together because the sister is at school.
Mm.
And that's now where she doesn't have to compete for time with her sister. And this feels special. She feels seen. Because most of us, we just want to feel seen. We just want to know that we are good enough. And once that is being established in us, we feel like we can conquer the world, you know, and we feel the need to love others equally. And then with the sister, around 12, one when her school is out, then it's our time now. So that's where now I go to fetch her, and we now get to bond without the sister. So at least when they are there and they both have my time, they don't have to now compete because they've equally had enough chance with mommy, they've been seen. And I always affirm them, you know, to say, you know, you are the most beautiful child in the world. And there's this poem, "You Are the Child of the Universe." I've been reading it to them before they could even know how to smile, you know, because that's what I want them to know, that they belong here and nobody else should tell them otherwise. You know, they have the rightful space on earth as well.
Yeah, no, that is very, very bad. I think as parents, then you need to find a strategy, man, that works, something that will ensure that there's balance here, and really ensuring that they both get the best out of you as a parent, and just going in gently so and understanding them, because they are still young as well. And sometimes we don't get to understand how vulnerable they are. We tend to just burden them without even being aware that we are burdening these young ones. I think it was last week, one of our guests, a parenting coach, and I was also asking as to you know, these socioeconomic challenges, when we stress so much about oh my god, things are not happy, are not moving, we now, you know, load shedding is a thing whenever it happens, and we just bang the table, we are angry. Do they actually also feel this burden, you know, where now all of this pressure, they can tell now that, you know, mama is not okay, papa is not okay? And sometimes then you know, as parents, we are not conscious around, and not in any way just being reactive in a way that it will affect them, but we just snap out of the blue, and then they tend to carry all of these burdens because they are very, very smart as young ones, and we can't really tend to control how they receive some of these issues. Do we see them being affected by this socioeconomic or the challenges that we go through as parents?
You know, the us snapping is the least of our worries. The one thing about genies is they are energetic beings. So they sense our energy before we even act it out. And that's why I always say honesty will always make your genie to trust you. Because the minute they ask you, "Mommy, Daddy, are you okay?" it's because there's a vibration that is happening that is being signaled to them. And they can sense your fear, your stress, your anger. So the minute they ask you, "Are you okay?" they just want to validate whether what they are feeling is what you are also feeling. So that's where now it becomes tricky. If you say, "I'm okay," then they start to dissociate from their own bodies. Because now they are like, "But this is what I feel my mom is feeling, but she's saying I'm okay." So clearly feeling like this is okay. And that's why we normalize being stressed, because we were taught from the onset that that is a normal thing, you know. So it's always honest, very helpful for you to say to them, "Mommy's not okay, but it's not for you to worry at the moment. I'm just going through something. I will solve it," so that they get to also deal with their own, I'm gonna make an example of a bee, you know. Most of the people who are calm, the bees are less likely to sting them.
But
those who are always anxious, and, you know, because bees would vibrationally feel your fear and then think they are under attack because they are sensing that vibration, and that's why they attack you, because of that energy. So that, same with dogs. I mean, people who are not scared of dogs are less likely to be beaten by one. But those who are always like running away, that's where the dogs go, because they sense the energy. So genies are actually still very much in touch with their own energy at that stage. So if you are calm in this whole storm of the economy, they are more likely to be calm as well, because they are tapping into, is the adult feeling safe? But if you are not feeling calm, then obviously they're going to take your anxiety. And most of the time, they are going to trigger you, because they're going to act out what you are feeling, and you're already in that space. So then you end up, you know, it becomes a roller coaster. And that's what actually they've taught me, to be mindful of my own emotions and my own fears. Whenever I see them being all over the place, then I know that there's something going on with me. And what I do is I calm me, and automatically they become calm. Because before it used to be this war, power war, you know, me trying to calm them down, but I'm not calm, and they can't calm because now they are sensing this energy that I'm emitting. So usually I would work on, I'm not okay right now. Mine is going to, you know, lie down for like 10 minutes. Usually I would put on some meditation music, or even just journal, you know, a 5 minute free flow journal. And when I come back, I'm calmer. Automatically they come as well. Because they can sense that, oh, now mommy is okay. And it works like magic. It really works like magic. So that's why I would always say most of the genies actually come very pure. But now we tend to want to work more on them instead of the parents. And the parents are the ones who are now triggered by what the genies are bringing into them and reflecting on them. So I always say manage the environment, not the genie. And most of the time, the environments are the parents.
Yeah, and we need to check ourselves as well as parents, hey, because that would be so ideal. But I wanted to also just ask before I let you go, this thing of us as parents, you know, when they are still young, and then we are so comical around the dada, mama, and then there's this thing of saying, bana ba tla ka di aeroplane, you know what I mean? And then we tell them that, and we also then tell them about the tooth fairy. We ask them to put their tooth under the pillow, and all of those ways of parenting. Is it an ideal way that you would say of parenting, or would have to snap out of it and be realistic with them from the get-go, so that we don't sell them this pipe dream all the time? When they see an aeroplane, they feel like there's a child on their way, they'll come running and telling you that there's a baby that is coming and the likes, when that in actual fact is not, you know, what is happening. Do we need to check ourselves, or that is fine? It's actually, it's parenting. It's one step, one journey that they would have to undergo as young ones. Eventually, then they'll find the reality, and then they'll get to understand that, no, we didn't want to let you in as to how the baby is conceived, because we know that you're curious, and then you'll be starting to ask all of these questions, and we wouldn't know how to handle that kind of situation. How does a parent really deal with this aspect of parenting when we know very well that for the longest of time, and if history is anything to go by, that has been their way of parenting, you know, where these kids are concerned?
So personally, I feel like it's okay to let them hold on to their magic for some time, but you must also be mindful of, that's where now also consciousness comes in, to be mindful of how quick their brain and their minds develop, because they are not the same, you know. It goes to the thing of lying to them. Okay, what usually happens for me is before I give an answer, I would always want to ask, why are they asking and what is it that they know? And then you work from there, you know. So if already they are still, like, you know, in their magic space, the last thing you want to do is not make them believe in magic. Because, trust me, you can carry that magic up to 35 years. Up to 50, 90, and it would still happen for you. I mean, I had to reconnect with my magical being, which I lost at 5 years. And right now, she works the most for me. I'm able to just say, you know what, today I want it to be a good day, and this is how I want my day to be. And it will be exactly as I envision it to be, you know, because I still tap into that magic. But at the same time, we still don't want them to be far out of reach with reality, you know, because with pregnancy, they're going to see bumps, you know, I mean, tummies all over. And now they're going to be confused because, like, are these people sick? Why are they having big tummies? You know, so it's also now. And because you did not tell them what is happening, they might actually go around poking.
Yeah, they want to understand what's
happening. Yes. So you also now assist them to contain themselves. Because obviously, if they are curious and you give them an answer, chances are they are less likely to go and experiment. Mm. But the minute you, like, don't answer them, which is usually the most dangerous one, that's when now they go all over and look for information. And the truth fair thing is I do it, and it works so well. Mm. But it's also a way of me teaching Oreo about financial agility, yeah. You know, because... But her tooth fairy is very expensive. She would say, like, for one tooth, she wants 200. Like, and she's at that stage where she's losing tooth, like, nobody.
Oh, my God. In this economy. Lord.
But what I do is I'd make her save the money and then use it for something that she'd like, you know. So I remember her last one, the tooth fairy came and she was... And you can be creative. There was a time when I didn't have money and she had lost her tooth. And then I said to her, you know how mommy tends to be on leave? Tooth fairy is now on leave until the 25th, you know. Yeah. And on the 25th, because now I got paid, I was able to now say, ah, tooth fairy is back. Go check in your purse if the tooth is still there. And then it happened that they had entrepreneur day at school at the time. Then I was saying to her, now you have your own money. So you can decide what you want to buy with your money, you know. And now she knows that, you know, you earn money, even if it's magical earning for now, and you get to spend it and you get to save it as well because it's that pressure. So it's also trying to strike a balance also. But personally, I believe, like, let's hold on to the magic as much as possible because the world is not so friendly at us right now. So, you know, if we're able to hold on to that magic, why not?
So it's basically one of those where you know it I don't know how to approach it, but really, like you're saying, it's a different stroke for different folk. Also here, then we'll have to create a balance and really then tend to read our kids and just let them be where there's a need for them to be, but then allow them to also just not be far off from reality in terms of the day-to-day experiences and what is happening here. Do we then get a different sense as to how they tend to be when they are at school and how they tend to be and when they are at home? Do we then to be really cognizant as parents as to what is happening, these two spaces, and try to help them also balance it out? Because sometimes then you'd hear people saying that Katlego, when Katlego is at school, he's a different person than Katlego when Katlego is at home. Then as a parent, when you pick up on these two, you know, differences, do you need to then intervene and kind of create a balance here so we can have the same person, or it's actually normal here for a child to just be themselves or whatever when they're at school, and then when they're at home, it's something that is, you know, different because it's a different environment. Is this something that maybe you've picked up in your line of work or you've thought of that I'm bringing forward this morning?
Yes, actually, it's something that I struggled with when Oreo was starting grade. I think it was RR in 2021, you know, because at home she's this bubbly person, but now at grade she was just so quiet. And I almost took her out of school because I was thinking, they must be abusing my child. Are they feeding her? You know, because the other thing is every time when she comes back and I ask her, what did you eat, Bob? You know, I was like, no, but they can't feed my child Bob all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but then I realized I'm not the same person every time, you know.
Yeah.
So why am I expecting my child to be the same? And also, at home, she is still this magical being. Most of the time, the world still revolves around her, especially if it's the only child or we are conscious, you know, and parenting gently. But at school, it's a different environment. Now, she's going to meet people who don't take her nonsense. Because at home, if she's like, no, but I'm going to have the Danone now, sometimes we let it slide. But she cannot say to her friend, I want your Danone now, and she's going to get it. You know, so that's where now she starts getting to see that, oh, so, you know, different people will react to me differently. And that's where also other peers will try to now bully her, and she needs to now start knowing how to be safe without mommy and daddy. You know, because the teacher sometimes is just so preoccupied that they're just not going to have time to always intervene on every small fight at break time that she doesn't even know about, you know. So for you as a parent, it's just to make sure that you hold space for her. And this is also one of the confidence builder, you know, for you to just acknowledge that I see, I hear you, and well done for having gone through that with grace, you know. Because if they were able to overcome a situation and it felt good for them and they shared with you and you are not even there and you embrace it, then they are more likely to act. And for us to encourage small things, you know, who did you share your scarfing with at school? Now she knows that also sharing is a good thing because mom is now embracing it, you know. I'm talking about big feelings. How did you feel at school? What made you sad? And always going into the animation, you know, not wanting to now talk depression and can just say, did you, your day feel cloudy, sunny, you know, and giving it a color. If it had a color, what color would it be? You know, and when we tap into my own work, we now even check the colors versus the chakra system and which part of hair needs to be focused on. Yeah. You know, and if most of the time you'd even go and say, if it had a message, what would it say? And that's where now you even know how to help your genie without them knowing that you actually tapping into their knowledge and helping them the way they want to be helped. You know? Because we all possess solutions. That's why therapy is just you being given the platform to tell us what you want without feeling judged. So you give them a mini therapy without them feeling like they're being psyched.
Yeah, 100%. I wanted to also just to find out from you, Neo, how does a parent then handle the issues of discipline of the genies? At that point in time, you'd get parents saying that, like, you know, the everything that he touches, he breaks, goes to the TV, wants to knock the TV down. You know, you don't understand really sometimes what they're going through. Like, that's just them. As a parent, then how do you navigate that without you coming across as, you know, abusive, as problematic yourself, as, you know, someone that would then even isolate the child and make them feel unwanted? Because then you just, at the first little mistake, then you scream at them, you know, run, and then you pack after them. Whatever is happening, they're confused as to how. And then, Mama, you know what I mean. So how do you then discipline them? You know, as young as they are, and teach them the responsibilities as we go along, so that they don't get to embarrass you when we go to a family gatherings, and they start they can embarrass you, and they can go there. So really, how does one actually deal with this genius at this point in time?
I like that you took it to the embarrassing part. You know how egoistic we are as parents. We think that everything revolves around us. The minute a genie does something, we already think it reflects on our own parenting. We don't immediately think, what is this genie needs right now, and what are they? And the weird part is, we all judge that when it happens to us, but when it happens to other parents, we sympathize with them. So we're also being a bit unfair towards ourselves, you know. But I was actually disheartened when I found out that punitive measures or discipline measures like naughty corner and the naughty chair doesn't actually work. It's not that effective. And the reason why is it's more about the message than the action. You know, the minute you say to a child, go to a naughty corner, you are saying to them, when you are wrong, we cast you out. And remember, we are tribalist. You know, we are still operating mainly from our reptilian brain. So we are all afraid of being isolated because we're still thinking in the Stone Age, if they cast you out of the village, you are now in danger of the lions and all the dangerous animals. So no one wants to be isolated. So the minute you say to them, go to a naughty corner, you are saying to them, you are not worthy of the tribe. You know, and most of the time when they are there, you'll be saying, go think about what you did. More often than not, they don't think about what they did. They're thinking, I hate her. She's so mean. Or maybe they're even thinking, I'm the worst person.
What is wrong with me?
What is wrong with me? You know, so it's reinforcing negativity towards them. And that's why most of the time they would multiply their behavior. Because now they are trying in their own way to get your attention, to get you to see them, to prove to you that there's nothing wrong with them. But the more they try, the more they actually make you even, you know, it becomes a war. So I love what one of the psychologists, my mentor, also said, connection before correction. So you first learn to connect with your child so that when you correct them, because boundaries are very important. I'm nowhere saying we shouldn't have boundaries, but when you have boundaries and they know that you've connected with them, you know them, they're more likely to be corrected without even you going deeper. And also, it's you explaining the action and not making it personal. So it's not about, oh, stone, but what you are doing is, you know, because the minute you say, oh, stone, you are personalizing it and you are attacking the personality. And no one wants to feel attacked. Even at 3 years old, 4 years old, you know, and also explaining why they shouldn't be doing something. Instead of saying, don't climb there, you can tell them, you know, I'm so afraid that when you climb there, you might fall and break your leg, you know, and if maybe there's a child who's broken their leg or arm, you can make an example so that they get to relate it, you know, make it make sense. Yeah, don't just say don't, because we are curious. The minute somebody says, Oskaya Baring, you want to go see what's there at the bar. Why don't they want me to? I mean, it's the same with there. So instead of using the don't, rather explain to them how the action they're doing is dangerous and how it makes you feel. So don't even make it about them. You know, we are afraid of telling our kids that we are scared, we are sad, but they get to understand their impact on us and others when we tell them how it makes us feel. But now if you are just like, skapara mamo, and they like, but it's nice. I mean, oh no, we've climbed trees, we've climbed. Climbing is nice. And the other thing is we also forget that physiologically, they need the climbing to strengthen their spine muscles, to strengthen their motor, their gripping. Otherwise, none of the genies would want to climb trees. None of them would want to jump on a bed. But somehow their brain needs it, or physiologically they need the stimulation of the jumping. And that's when now also the environment takes a big role. Once in a while, if you realize that your child likes jumping on the bed, buy a trampoline if you can. But if you can't, go to the nearest park and have a safe space where they can jump. Yeah. Once they've satisfied that jumping urge, they don't need to do it when we get home. But then we are obviously very busy and we don't get to make time. Yeah. But I always say, let's be intentional. I mean, one thing I realize is that genies don't demand much time. Out of the 8 hours that is left when you are back, if you just take away the phones and everything and give them 30 quality minutes with them, sometimes even 15 is sufficient. Get into the world, do something they like. They're more likely to be in their best behavior because they'll be stuck in that memory that they've created with you. So one of the things that I would say is, because we rush usually in the morning, we could usually make scarf tini at night and assist and help them assist, you know, in making it. You know how a child feels when they eat a sandwich from a tomato that they help slice, or just bite or go there from the pack. It makes them feel like, oh, so I created this.
Yes.
You know? So tap into their magic and we'll have the best behaved kids.
Yeah.
And it's easier, but it requires us to be conscious and be present and be more intentional.
Yeah, just listening to you, it doesn't take a lot, right? It really doesn't take a lot, but you know, I think as parents that you need to basically check yourself and be intentional, like you say. I don't want to, you know, but I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation this morning, and I don't want to, you know, just have you to myself. I want to get the listeners to get the best out of you. How do we get hold of you? How do they, you know, get to know of the School of Primal Healing Arts, the podcast? How do they register for some of the classes and the work that you do? Just before we let you go.
Oh, okay, so my most accessible would be WhatsApp, so 078-430-8172. But we do have a website. I also am not so active on social media, but I do try to go now and then.
Okay.
Yes. And then we also have what we call Genie Picnics. So this is now where we create the Genie World Magic. So every second Saturday, we move between Rustenburg, Hartebeest, Four Ways, Alberton, Klerksdorp, and Potch. The dates are all there until December. So you get to register your genie for like a 4-hour session. So I always say, for the parents, this is your free time. You know, you get to drop your genie there for 4 hours and go do whatever you want to do. Go scream in the, you know, karaoke. Go have that wine that you've always wanted to have, while you know that your gene is safe. And the very little music that I've been sharing, that's where I now also show them, you know, to say, this is how we deal with emotions. Because we also do yoga with them. We've been focusing on massages, because touch is one of the ways that regulates the nervous system and makes them to feel safe. And then they get to be more calmer, you know. So we've moved now from the root chakra, we go into the creativity. So now we are doing baking. So different times they'll be doing their own pizzas, making their own toppings. They'll also be doing their own burgers and then maybe marshmallow roast, because it's a bit cold now. So we're focusing on having storytelling around the fireplace. So for more information, you can just contact me on WhatsApp. Or get into the social media. There's a Facebook page called the Genie Coach Facebook page. And we can also get into our mailing list as well when you get to the website.
Oh, that is great. I'd encourage all the parents to really tap into the Genie, you know, coach, so we can get the best out of what Neo was presenting to us this morning. 078-430-8172. That's where they can get you now. And I'm hoping that you really, really, we see parents getting the best out of this, because I feel like all of us need to be reminded. We need to be really on the same page. We need to see what other parents are doing so that we can also get the best out of it. But my major takeaway is issues of just being gentle in the way that you are parenting. You know, connection before correction. That is another one that I took away from our discussion this morning. Really being honest with them, not hiding anything from them, because they can tend to pick up on some of the things that we're going through as parents. Being strategic, you know, around how we want to ensure that they grow very well. Let them be intentional as well. Check in with yourself, check yourself as well as a parent. That's one thing as well that I learned. So I learned a lot. That's why I'm saying that I thoroughly enjoyed this, because I feel like when I leave here, then we also gotta start implementing and being on some, we don't do things like that now, you know, we don't shout and you know. So I really, really learned a lot, and thank you very much for giving us your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Katlego. I thoroughly enjoyed the session.
Thank you. Please come back when we invite you. Don't be shy. We know some people really get scared and be like, oh, so late, so early in the morning. But there's something that happens in this space. That's really how I appreciate everyone that comes through here, because we don't take that for granted at all. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we wish you everything of the best in your journey.
Thank you, Katlego. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much. Neo Nari.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.